T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
They had A-Rod Day, and I respected it. And I knew I had to combat it with something anti-A-Rod. And I didn't do the whole show on it, just a little bit. And Ryan Dempster and Jason Veritek were my Trojan horses. Those are the guys I really... I also wanted Cousin Yuri, but I couldn't get him. I think he's in jail right now, and I could not get his services. And Jason Veritek was busy. I understood it. So here's Ryan Dempster, the guy with enough balls to say, I'm just going to hit A-Rod because he's a cheater. So I did treat him like my hero because he was my hero because he said yes. And I needed some anti-A-Rod love, and Ryan Dempster was like my hero for doing it.
It didn't even work.
You drew a lot of emotion out of me during that interview, so I give you credit, but it was a little over the top. But I called about Barkley.
Well, real quick before you continue, you are listening to us, Evan and Tiki, here on WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN-FM-HD1 in New York. Sorry, that was legal. Continue on now, Kevin. I apologize.
Question about Barkley. Big picture. If they tag Barkley within the next 2 weeks,
yes,
does that mean we're not drafting a quarterback and trading up?
That's a good question.
Because I think it's counterintuitive. If you tag Barkley, you're telling your team and your fans we're in a win-now moment, and I don't think they trade up or draft a quarterback in the first round because that's not a win-now moment.
Yeah, that's a good question, Kevin. So let me think about this. So if you tag Saquon Barkley, you're locking in – I think it's the opposite of that, because if you sign Saquon Barkley to the franchise tag and you lock him in at 12.5 million, let's call it, I forget what the exact number is, but it's 12.5, which is a big cap hit number for a team that has a 30 free agents in 30 spots that they got to fill. The likelihood of you going and getting a quarterback is actually higher. Because the quarterback's cap hit is small because he's a rookie, right? And obviously you have a signing bonus and you have all those other things, but it's not going to get like a massive contract to stick on there. I think if they sign Saquon Barkley on the franchise tag, it's for two reasons. One, leadership continuity, and two, to help a young quarterback not have to worry about what the running game looks like.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, that works both ways.
Right, it definitely does.
It works both ways because if I'm drafting a young quarterback, I want him to have as many tools as possible so he's in position to succeed.
You need as many veterans around him as possible.
I honestly think that if they tag Saquon Barkley in the next 2 weeks, it gives us zero indication of what they're going to do at quarterback. I think it gives us more of an indication of how they feel about Saquon Barkley and that they actually have a confidence they could work out a long-term deal. Because remember, when you tag a guy, you're not saying he's going to play on the tag this year.
No.
You're doing it to keep everybody away. Now, obviously, you put the non-exclusive tag on him so somebody could actually give up multiple picks. They're not going to do that, as we saw last year. So, effectively, you're keeping him away from the open market. And by keeping him away from the open market, you give yourself three options. Option number one is he could play on the tag again. I don't think they'll do that. Option number two is you're just buying yourself time to work out a long-term contract. Yes. And then option number three, which is not the worst, is trading him.
Right.
A tag and trade. So that if you do lose him, you're getting something besides just the compensatory pick you would get back for losing a free agent. So I don't think their decision to tag him will give us any indication on what their plan is at quarterback.
Right, and if they tag him tomorrow, they'll have until July 17th to sign him to a long-term deal. Otherwise, you rescind the tag or he plays on the tag.
Right. Rescinding the tag is very rare. Gettleman did it to Josh Norman years and years ago.
Yes, he did, down in Carolina.
I think that's like one of the rare examples of that.
Well, that was Josh Norman talking too much.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Wasn't Gettleman being Gettleman? Yeah.
It's just what, you never had those conversations with, you're not there yet because your kids aren't old enough, mm-hmm. but my kid is, at least my 10-year-old who thinks she's 20. Right? You get to the point where I'm just like, Brooklyn, you're better off if you just stop talking.
Yes.
Right? We're not going to continue the conversation. Just stop talking because it's going to get worse if you keep talking.
Yes.
Josh Norman was that guy.
Interesting.
He just kept talking.
Speaking of guys that keep on talking, but sometimes I enjoy listening to him, Ozzie in Woodridge.
Ozzie,
how are you?
What's up, everybody? How you doing?
Oh, we're great. We're fantastic. Thanks for asking.
All right. Three questions for Morash, if I may, and then a kumbaya moment on how he made me thankful for A-Rod.
Oh, okay. Oh, nice.
Go ahead.
All right. Has President Taylor's grandson seen all four Blue Skirt Stanley Cups, Sean?
I'd have to do the math. I would assume yes.
No, right. Well, he probably didn't remember. He was born in 1928.
So yeah, so no, he
theoretically, did not. Theoretically, yes, but I doubt it.
Yeah, he doesn't remember all of them.
He was one.
Okay. Yeah, interesting.
All right, fact check me on that.
No, you're right. I just did.
No, I think you're right.
I got it out of my head already.
That was a great first point, Ozzie, by the way. You're off to a wonderful start.
Yes.
All right, Sean, why didn't you call out Tiki for storming out of the studio on Joe B that time, and you just called out Evan for being a crybaby?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I agree. That's a hypocrisy from both of you.
Right.
You have a problem with me. You have a problem with Tiki.
Go kiss ass.
Yeah.
Because Tiki is somebody I idolized. I would kill myself if I ever idolized you.
Right. And I was justified. Okay. And I was justified.
That's right.
I wasn't justified.
No, you weren't justified.
I was not justified.
No, you were a whiny bratty baby.
A bet.
I know, but you guys were taking unfair shots at the Mets and Alex Rodriguez.
Any shot.
I didn't appreciate it. Thank you for bringing that up, Ozzy. I thought the same thing.
Yeah, you're welcome. I mean, this is going to end kumbaya because Sean may see the light.
Okay, go ahead.
But Tommy can answer that second question, too, whenever he wants.
No, he'd give the same answer as Sean. They'd insult me and say, we respect Tiki so much. Some kind of BS answer. Anyhow, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Do you think A-Rod called in on Friday because he wanted to show his selflessness to fulfill a fanboy's fantasy? Or because he thought that someone in the Yankee brass was going to hear it and he would fulfill his fantasy to make Monument Park and have 13 retired? What do you think his motive was, Sean?
Can I answer that?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So the real reason he called in is because one of my best friends is Ron Berkowitz, who's his PR agent.
Okay.
I said, Ron, get me A-Rod.
Right.
He said, all right, cool.
That's the power of Tiki Barber. He says, get me this guy. He comes on.
So, Sean, you owe Tiki one because you were fanboy and big time. Your cheeks were getting all flushed when you were on the phone with A-Rod.
Yeah, he was.
It was getting kind of awkward.
I replayed it 14 times.
Kumbaya, bro.
Kumbaya. Yeah. All right. Why did you appreciate it, Ozzy?
All right. Well, Sean made me, a Met fan, grateful for A-Rod on Thursday, on anti-A-Rod day. Because I quote Sean, she said about A-Rod, he said, A-Rod was willing to put stuff in his body to give Sean a parade. He didn't care about the side effects. He was willing to do that. He didn't care about the physical side effects. Well, the main side effect caused him to lose the consensus number one on the Cinco de Fatso, J-Lo. And by causing him to lose J-Lo because he's rocking and rolling with a pea shooter now, that prevented the sale to the Mets to J-Lo and A-Rod.
Build that ass first.
Him.
Wow. I didn't even think of that.
Because he dumped him.
Yeah.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward.
Modelo, the mark of a fighter.
Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
She dumped him because he's rocking a pea shooter, the main side effect of roid use.
Wow.
That prevented us from having them as Met owners.
Thank you, Ozzy. That's a thought I never thought.
It cleared the way for Steve Cohen.
Yeah.
It's great. However, if A-Rod and J-Lo own the team, I bet Pete has an extension already.
Oh, God. By the way, the Minnesota Timberwolves are first place in the West.
That's right. Oh, and we're giving Alex credit for that now?
Yeah. I mean, I don't believe in coincidence very often.
Oh,
the best thing that happened to the Mets besides the Wilpon selling was that A-Rod and J-Lo didn't buy the team. Because that would have been...
Can you imagine how chaotic that
would Well, that's my point. Like, it's nothing against Alex because I think Alex loves baseball.
Right.
I think he would be passionate about it. I don't know what kind of finances they'd have. Like, I'll tell you right now, the finances would not be the Steve Cohen finances.
Ultimately, wasn't that the issue that they were bringing on a couple of extra
I think so, yeah.
investors, and it just got a little convoluted.
He didn't have the money. I mean, few people do.
Who does?
No, Steve Cohen does. So besides the questions about the finances, the other thing would have been this breakup. Like, they were buying the team together. Like, can you imagine what the hell would have happened if now all of a sudden they call off the wedding, they're not together anymore, Ben Affleck's here, like... That just, I don't even know what would have happened, but all I know is that it probably wouldn't have been good.
J-Lo would get the Mets during the week, and A-Rod would get the Mets on the weekend, like a divorce, and it's a child.
And that works out incredibly well. Like, all I know is, I know that was a convoluted way for Ozzy to say, thankfully A-Rod did steroids, like somehow that affected that, and this affected this, and then he's not the owner, but I do appreciate the effort. I thought it was a very, very good effort. And I do want to answer Sean's question because he asked me earlier. He made a very strong accusation against me that the banner we hung up on Friday, which was right behind us, the 13 banner, is no longer here. I have found out where it is.
Okay.
I have retrieved it. And what we need to figure out as a show is where we're hanging it. It doesn't really work behind us where we had it for the ceremony.
No, so me and Tiki got to figure it out.
Do you have it figured out?
Yeah, we're taking on the Pete Alonso signed picture. We're right there.
Well, first of all, it's a signed autographed jersey in which Pete writes to me and Craig, thank you for being part of the charity event that we did.
Great.
You think that should just come down?
Charity event.
I think Pete did great work, you and Craig. Bottom line is this. He's basically shown he's probably on his way out of New York. His jersey needs to come down. You could take it home, do whatever you want with it. This is the Evan and Tiki show now, not the Carter Roberts show now. We're putting up the A-Rod Day banner.
Where did you get the power to just decide that? Like, it was just your decision.
Just gave him a little bit of a power. Gave him a little bit of a window to crawl through. And
all right, you know
it.
What? I'll agree. If all three of you, and that includes Loogie, says that's what we should do with it, then I'll accept it. But, Tiki, do you think that's what we should do?
I don't know. Can we hang my picture first?
Your picture?
I have my picture. It's, like, right there. Been sitting there.
Oh, that's
on the
right.
Floor.
There's a tiki. Wait. Yeah, we can hang that up.
Did you walk that in there as a subtle hint that we've been waiting to hang it up? It's been sitting there.
No, it's been sitting there for 2 years.
Has it? I haven't even noticed it, but you're right. There's a painting of Tiki Barber.
It's been in here for at least 2 years.
All right, so you want to hang that up and you want to put the A-Rod banner up where the Pete Alonso jersey is?
Yes.
And Sean, I know you want that. You're all right with that?
I don't think so. We're not covering up Pete Alonso's jersey. No shot.
Then you've been outvoted. Well, sorry. Luckily, I guess we'll have to figure out a different place for it.
Luckily, Tiki's name is Tiki Barber, so his vote counts for two, so we win.
No, that's not how it works, because the whole pickleball thing, I got overruled, and that got us in this mess in the first place. I'm not, doing this again.
Yeah, I'm with him. We'll hang it somewhere else. We're not taking Pete down. Mm. I mean, I'll give you this. I'll make you this deal.
I'm surprised you're not giving Al Cintron a vote here.
No. I'm going to give you a deal, and I don't think Lugie's going to like it, but I'll give you a deal. I made a declaration that Pete Alonso would extend with the New York Mets. It's why I have this gorilla growing on my face.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's our cat growing on my face.
As well as your hair.
What animal should I use for growing on my face?
Mm.
Not a lobster, because I don't have hair.
A ferret. Chinchilla.
I already used ferret. Cat.
Skunk.
Gorilla. Porcupine. Skunk. Porcupine. I like that one. I got a porcupine growing on my face. I'll make this declaration to the man from Milwaukee and to Scott Boras. All right? I love Pete. I hope Pizza Met forever. And I will cherish that jersey that he signed to me and Craig. And by the way, to Craig, if he's listening, it ain't yours anymore. You've been gone, you haven't claimed it, and possession is 75% of the law. Okay? So you talk about divorces, it's mine. We'll start with that. Got that out of the way. If Pete Alonso doesn't extend by opening day, it comes down. I agree with you. Screw it. If we don't get an extension by opening day, the Pete Alonso jersey hanging in this studio is gone. And the A-Rod banner goes up and the tiki painting goes up. And I accept that if I made myself clear.
Okay, you have. I don't think it's horrible. I do think it's very tough to track how many things we have going on with a Pete Alonso extension at this point. But the A-Rod banner is not waiting till opening day to get rehung. So it's got to get hung somewhere, even if we leave the Alonso thing. Yes. You can't do it. It's A-Rod day. It's not A-Rod day for a day. It's A-Rod day forever.
All right.
I will talk to the person that stole it because they reached out to me. I know who did it. They have it. Okay. And I now have possession of it.
So let me know when you go find it.
And I promised to not tell anybody that Al Cintron would do that as a weekend host. But I will keep that between us.
Okay.
Just me and him, that he had nothing to do with taking that banner down. Don't worry, Al. Secret safe with me. Steve is down in Florida. How are you, Steve?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Evan, dude, I got to call you out. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Like,
I don't mind being called out.
The Knicks hatred, I get it. You're a legit Nets fan. You're a legit NBA fan. That's fine. The Rangers hatred is just... And I'm disappointed no one's made this point yet today.
Yeah.
Your Ranger hatred just feels so manufactured. Like, dude, you watch maybe 10 hockey games a year. You're not a real Islander fan. You're not a real hockey fan.
About 12 games a year. I've actually counted it out. You're right. But I've always made that clear, which is why I can't be a fraud. Because I've always said I like hockey, but I'm a real front runner. Like, when the Islanders are in the playoffs, I watch every single game. But during the regular season, it's more when basketball isn't on. So I've made that absolutely clear. So how could you be a fraud when you're brutally honest? You know what I mean?
I guess.
I got you. I stumped you. Now, hockey's my fourth sport, and I've always made this very clear, too. I find it really difficult for anybody, and that's why I wonder about Sean, and I wonder about a buddy of mine. His name is AJ, who happens to be a Nick Islander fan. I wonder how you could be diehard for both. I don't see how you could
do it.
It's hard. There's not enough time in the day. So the way I am is I watch the Islanders probably 10 to 12 regular season games a year. I think his estimate was spot on. But playoff time, complete fraud, watch every game.
Yeah.
And my boiling hatred for the Rangers is just this collective hatred I have for Madison Square Garden. In fact, some days I wonder if I actually dislike the Rangers more than I actually like the Islanders.
Yeah.
So he's sort of right, but really wrong.
It's one thing to have elite fandom for a team. It's another to have interest and understanding. Because if you were asked me, my two sports would be football and soccer.
Right.
Right. But it's like baseball I'll watch and I enjoy. Hockey I don't watch a ton of. But now I am that I'm a Devils fan. It's just, you get into it.
Yeah.
But you really have to have time. And
no
doubt. The problem is, it's hard to have time.
It is. That's why this is going to be a great year if the Islanders can make the playoffs. Because guess what? The Nets aren't. So you got my full attention, baby.
All right. An extra little week for Evan.
Yeah.
By the way, I have the animal for you.
That's all growing on my face. Go ahead.
A Markhor goat.
A Markhor?
Markhor goat.
A Markhor goat?
Markhor.
Why not just say goat?
Markhor.
Why do I have to add the Markhor?
Because a goat is different than a Markhor.
It's a specific goat. He's
a
right.
Specific goat.
Does the Markhor grow more hair?
It looks like your beard.
Interesting.
He's actually right.
Markhor.
So this is a profitable rabbit hole.
I'll use it the next time
This is what I do.
The next time I talk about the thing growing on my face,
right,
I'll bring
that
up.
Just say Markhor. Don't say goat. Just say Markhor.
I got a
damn Markhor growing on my face.
You got it.
And people will be like, what in the hell is he talking about?
You
and
got
it'll force them to educate themselves.
There you go. We have a Yankee legend joining us in the next half hour. Find out who. Plus more of your calls at 877-337-6666. And new information's come to light that may prove that Kyle Shanahan screwed up more royally in the Super Bowl than we even realized. A very busy Monday here in New York City on President's Day. Ranger fans taking their bows for winning their February Stanley Cup yesterday at MetLife Stadium. Saquon Barkley may get tagged, and tomorrow we may find out. The two-week window begins tomorrow, and we'll talk to a Yankee legend coming up in the next 20 minutes. But I don't know if you heard this. I must have missed this right after the Super Bowl, but Kyle Shanahan did an interview right before he met the media, in which it sounds an awful like Kyle Shanahan had no idea how the overtime rules work.
Hmm.
Now, we know that his players had no idea because his players admitted they had no idea. But both you guys, Tiki and Sean, I think made an assumption. Ah, but he knew. And that's really all that matters. Yeah. Well, I want to play this interview with Evan Washburn. And you tell me if Kyle Shanahan knew the overtime rules.
Is there anything right now that you feel like was the difference down the stretch?
I mean, love to score a touchdown there at the end. I could have had another chance. Had our opportunity to get him off the field on fourth down. We didn't. Passed on that a bunch. Almost all the time.
Did you hear what he just said? Any regrets? And he said, yeah, I wish we scored a touchdown so we didn't give Pat another chance. If they scored a touchdown, Pat was still getting another chance.
Let me remember this. So what was the 49ers' penultimate possession?
What he was saying.
I know, but in the regular fourth quarter.
Yeah, they kicked the field goal.
They kicked the field goal.
Yes.
So maybe he's talking, because what were they? Pat would have had to score a touchdown.
Yeah, but here's why that's not the case. It can't be the case because he mentioned stopping Pat on fourth down. There was no fourth down opportunity on that Chief field goal drive at the end of regulation.
All right, let me hear
he
this
is
again.
Clearly talking about overtime.
Let me hear it again.
And doesn't know the rules.
Is there anything right now that you feel like was the difference down the stretch?
I mean, love to score a touchdown there at the end. I could have had another chance. Had our opportunity to get him off the field on fourth down. We didn't. Passed on that a bunch.
Bang.
He does it almost all the time. So it was a hard battle, hard fought game. Went a lot like we thought it would go. Had our chances there and didn't get it done.
That's a guy who doesn't understand the overtime rules.
Yeah.
Tell me where I'm lying.
No, you're not. He's I don't know whether it's in the moment or he just is completely unaware.
Now, you want to tell me he misspoke and that's not what he actually meant? Because when he did get to the press conference, he understood the overtime rules because he said, hey, it was the possession game like we talked about right after the bowl. But this is the interview prior to the press conference.
Yeah.
And based on that answer, Kyle Shanahan had no idea how overtime rule
works. Evan Washburn is the sideline reporter, so he caught him on the field. Before he got into the
I think it was right as he got into the dressing room area and they do that losing head coach interview. So he's off the field, but it's prior to doing the press conference. So would you agree with my assessment that Kyle Shanahan admits he knows nothing about the rules?
It sounded like it. I mean, the only thing I could guess is if he scores a touchdown, then there's no way to make it like right.
No, there's no way to make it right.
There's no way to
other than just saying he misspoke.
Conceptually make it right. There's no way unless he misspoke. Which I don't think he did. I think he's very aware. He's very smart, Kyle Shanahan. Mm-hmm. So he knows exactly what he's saying. And he just didn't know the rule. And it's not surprising because his players didn't know the rule.
That's a problem.
Kyle Juszczyk said, I didn't know that if we score a touchdown that they still get a chance.
At 4:29 on February 19th, I must bend the knee and admit, I think Evan's right.
Yes.
I'm done fighting about this a week later. Right. Now, I still think he made the right call accidentally. I still would have taken the ball, but I would have gone for two. That being said, it is now very hard to defend Kyle Shanahan.
So, if Kyle Shanahan didn't know the rule of overtime, if that statement you just heard in that interview with Evan Washburn, if you don't believe he misspoke, and you take what he said at face value that we just played for you, and you all accept, wow, a head coach in the Super Bowl did not know the rules of overtime. I ask you a much more difficult question.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a fireable offense?
No. No.
It's close.
No.
It's close. He's a damn good head coach, but that's close.
He's too good of a head coach to fire him over.
He didn't know the rules of overtime. Yeah, but he didn't know the rules of overtime.
Did nobody know the rules of overtime?
We knew that. Come on. He's a head coach.
No. I'm talking about did nobody on his staff know the rules of overtime.
I don't know. I don't know what they knew.
Right, there had to be some conversation about this. There had to have been. Like when you get into overtime and you're going out, I don't know, whatever it was, 3 minutes or 5 minutes before they go out and they flip the coin, there had to have been conversation about the overtime rules. And if not, then that's an indictment on the hiring. Like they don't have a game management guy.
Mm.
Now maybe Kyle's ego is such that he thinks he doesn't need one. But every team has a game management guy that tells you, right, this go for two here, or that was a challenge, that one. Every team has that guy.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine that Kyle didn't know, and then whoever was hired to do this job, or they don't even have this job, didn't know.
Here's what I am curious about. And I understand that Sean agreed with the decision. I don't want to refight the decision to take the ball first, because that's irrelevant here. if the New York Giants had just lost the Super Bowl and we had this damning evidence against Brian Daboll for not knowing the rules of overtime. Still did a great job. Still got into the Super Bowl.
Not fireable. Not fireable.
Would it be fireable, Sean?
I'm going to say not fireable.
No, but yeah. You don't even mean it.
Well, because it would bother the hell out of me.
Of course it would.
However, I still have to say Kyle Shanahan took a team with Mr. Irrelevant to the Super Bowl and has built up a super team. This can be a very easy learning experience. And Andy Reid is the poster child of learning experiences and bad moments in the playoffs. So it would bother the hell out of me. I would have to try not to be prisoner of the moment, but I would still say not fireable.
You would probably never be able to look at Brian Daboll the same way again.
Well, no, until he won a championship.
Exactly.
Well, of course. Yeah. You win a championship, you solve all. But I think that that would be a frame of reference you would use forever to describe him.
Every little thing, whether it comes to challenges, time management, clock management, now becomes under a bigger microscope with Kyle Shanahan as it would with Daboll.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because Kyle, as good as he is as a coach, every big moment that he's had, all it's done is create another question. Right?
Yeah.
Same thing with when he was in Atlanta. Obviously, Super Bowl 54, the first time they played the camp, it creates more questions every single time.
Now,
and they're different questions.
Of course. We are fair and balanced around here. So even though I got Tiki agreeing with me and Sean agreeing with me that Kyle Shanahan's quote proves he didn't know the overtime rule, there is a dissenting opinion. I am curious to hear it. And Matt in Connecticut represents the dissenting opinion. So, Matt, what are we hearing wrong? That sounds like a guy that didn't know the rule of overtime.
No, I hear you. I think that what you guys are missing is he says at the end. So he's talking about the end of the game. If the Niners on their last drive had scored a touchdown, then Mahomes would have had to score a touchdown and not kick a field goal. So he says we could have stopped them on fourth down.
So you,
you know what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying. You know what the problem is? It's a stretch. Like, maybe, but we're stretching to find out what he meant to make it seem like he understands the rule. You're creating a fake fourth down situation that never occurred. I mean,
it's crazy.
You know what I mean? Because there was no fourth down. They kicked the field goal because there was no time left.
This game is not even a week old, and I've kind of forgotten it already.
But that hockey game took it all out of
you. No, I'm just saying, like the possessions. Like a week ago, I knew every possession.
Well, no. They kicked a field goal on 4th and 4 from the Kansas City 36, okay? They gave the ball back to Mahomes, who marched down the field and led the game-tying drive to tie it. In overtime, they got stopped short, had to kick a field goal. And then remember, they had Mahomes on a 4th and 1 from the 34-yard line, but they couldn't stop him.
In overtime. Yes.
So when I hear fourth down, I'm assuming he then means overtime. Our last caller, maybe in an attempt to defend Kyle Shanahan, is saying, no, what he really meant is the fictitious fourth down that never happened at the end of regulation.
And it adds up because if the Niner players don't know, and if you can question his decision, Kyle Shanahan, in overtime, it adds up.
That does add to it, yes.
All the pieces come together that this guy had absolutely no idea. They didn't prepare for it. They didn't know about it. And he made a wrong decision you could debate in overtime.
But what I did hear is that by the time he got to the press conference, he did understand the rules because when he was asked about receiving the ball, he gave an answer that made sense, even if I disagree with it. An answer that Sean agrees with, which is, hey, we score, they score, we get the ball back, which I get. I don't agree with it, but I get it. So sometime between the interview with Washburn and sitting down at the press conference, someone must have told him, hey, coach.
Yeah.
Do you understand how overtime works?
Somebody smartened him up so he didn't look like an idiot after the Super Bowl. That's what happened. He had no idea, and someone had to tell him so that when he's getting interviewed, he doesn't, you know, people aren't calling for his job.
I understand, but our last caller, Matt, thinks we're all wrong, that we're taking the quote out of context.
And let's not forget, like, when he said that down there at the end, I wish we would have scored a touchdown. They weren't close.
Right.
They were on the Kansas City 35.
Right. You know where they were close? In overtime.
They kicked a 53-yard field goal.
They were close in overtime because they had a 4th and 4 from the Kansas City 9.
Yeah.
That's when they were close.
I just can't grasp this part of it. Tiki alluded to it. This day and age where you have your analytics guys,
right,
your
so
challenge
guys, right,
all these different people in your headset, how does not one guy, the moment the game's ending, all right, Kyle, refresher, here's how overtime works. How is that not possible?
It's a fair question.
In overtime, their drive was on the 9. So over there at the end, we got down, I wish we scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
He wasn't close to scoring a touchdown
No.
on his last possession.
Not at the end of regulation. Let us go to my hometown of Woodmere, New York, where David is there. Hi, David. How's Woodmere, by the way? How's it been?
No complaints.
Good.
Everyone's good.
Good.
But we know you're a legend around here.
I don't know about that, but thank you. What's up, man?
I'm good. So I just wanted to talk about last year. I thought the Rangers may have had their moment when DeAndre Miller scored that goal with under a second left. I think it was against Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
That felt like that was the moment last year.
I know. Sean said the same thing. He said he was going to put that on the Blu-ray as well, and obviously that didn't work out because the Rangers choked against the Devils. Yeah.
Right. And then the other thing is I think this is for Sean. I don't know if you think this is possible. If the Rangers could maybe bring back Vetrano, I thought at the trade deadline, because I thought he was huge in that, even though they didn't win the Cup.
That's Frank.
I thought Frank Vetrano. I thought he scored some huge goals for them, and they need they really need a guy other than those top guys like Zibanejad and Kreider who could put the puck in the net.
That's a good question. You think Frankie P should come back, Sean?
Yeah,
I think
with Henrique, and by the way, me and Lugie in discussions, we might do a full hour on the Lugauer and the NHL trade deadline when that day comes up, kind of like your Royal Rumble show.
By the way, the NHL trade deadline, I was going to say, it's like mid-March, but not mid-March, March 8th.
They do that later on purpose to try to generate more buzz ahead of the playoffs.
Yeah. No, I get you. I'm excited for the NHL trade deadline, even though, honestly, I'll have no idea who's being traded.
Get ready for a lot of glass breaking that day.
No, I can't wait. And then you have to explain who everybody is.
Will there be a lot of moves?
Yes.
I believe it will be a more active deadline than the NBA.
For the threes here. The three teams here.
The Islanders are at a crossroads.
The Islanders have a big decision to make. I mean, it really is. It's not an easy one because they're only 5 points out of a playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
And if they didn't blow, late leads all season long, they should be in a playoff spot.
Right. Again, I said it earlier.
So
14 overtime losses.
That's 14. What I'm saying. So they have Lou has a tough decision to make on, are we buying?
Yeah.
Are we selling? Are we being kind of neutral in this whole thing? The Rangers are clearly a buy team. They're trying to win a Stanley Cup this year.
And they've had a couple big injuries. Now, the Rangers are probably two trades at least, depending on their caps.
But you hear what that Ranger fan said before he was breaking down the trade market? He said he had a moment last year, too. It was a moment when Keandre Miller scored that game-winning goal with less than a second to go, and he had that same vision that Sean had yesterday at MetLife Stadium, the vision of, this is such an amazing win.
Yeah.
And you want to know why he had that vision? Because in hockey and in all sports, sometimes you get great wins. That doesn't mean you're winning a championship.
Yep, that's true. That moment didn't happen to cause a 7-game win streak, the longest of the year, and that moment didn't happen in front of 80,000 people.
So because 80,000 people were there, that game mattered more?
Because I think the players...
Really?
Because I think the players, and they all said it at the end, it felt more significant to them on the ice.
Okay.
It felt like a bigger game.
When the Mets play the Yankees in the Subway Series, what are you breathing about?
Because I have a checkmate for you, and you're not going to like me after I say it.
Okay.
Is it matter more if you win the belt at WrestleMania in front of 80,000 people, or it's, SummerSlam in front of 10,000? Move on.
No, I don't think it matters at all.
Mr. WrestleMania, you could do all the main events. Love WrestleMania. It doesn't matter more because there's 80,000. Yes.
No, I think the most significant, I'll show you why you're wrong here. I think the two biggest title changes in the history of the WWE, in my humble opinion, are Hulk Hogan beating the Iron Sheik, which happened at a house show at Madison Square Garden.
Oh.
30 years ago, or 40,
okay.
Whatever, million.
I'm just giving you my answer. And the other significant title change is when our tribal chief, Roman Reigns, became the Universal Champion, not putting the two titles together, the Universal Champion, which he did at a pay-per-view I don't even know the name of. Like, literally, I can't think of it. I know that he won it there, and it was in, August of 2020.
It is wrestling.
Too. So, no, but he brought it up.
The internet exploded because Cody wasn't going to finish his story at WrestleMania.
It matters. Hold on. I'm giving you my answer. Okay, my answer is those are the two biggest title changes in the history of pro wrestling.
According to
neither app. Okay, my opinion.
Yeah,
but I'm giving you my opinion all day today.
But I think Evan's point, and I'm defending him.
Thank
here,
you.
Is that you're talking about a title change? He's talking about a regular season game.
Well, that too.
55.
We're talking about
game
a regular.
I'm just talking about a win at WrestleMania. Whatever. The fact that there were 80,000 people there, that was like the Super Bowl for hockey fans.
No.
Yes.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, yesterday was WrestleMania for Rangers.
No, here's where you guys are wrong about this, and I'm saying this as
But there's no value in the win other than the points.
But what I'm telling you is I believe in front of that crowd that that is something that you channel and you cling on to in the postseason and go, we've been here before.
Okay.
We're behind.
You guys have said so many things that I just want to spike down on the ground in the last minute. I got to get my head straight. So I'll start with the last thing you said. How many times have the Rangers lost a stadium series or winter classic game in one of those big, beautiful stadiums?
Never.
How many?
Never.
They've never. They've won 5, I think, 5-0-0?
Yeah.
Okay. How many times have they won the Stanley Cup after winning one of those big games?
None.
I'm sorry, what was that?
None.
Okay, so let's put that point away. Okay. That's stupid.
Okay,
that's
how number one. How many of them did number they come two. Back from two goals with 4 minutes left?
That matters?
Yeah, it does.
All right, let me get matters. To his dopey point, because I've already addressed it.
Can I just say one more thing beforehand?
You've already said enough.
The Rangers had their WrestleMania moment yesterday.
Okay, and they didn't win anything. They won a regular season game. And here's the other thing. For the casual hockey fan, which, by the way, I admit I am. Like, I admit that. Hockey is my fourth sport. Do I watch it? Yes. Do I pay attention to it? Yes. Am I watching every game the way I do the Nets and Knicks? No, I do not. I will always acknowledge it. Now, I always know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I know everything about this Islanders season, even if I'm not watching every game, but they are clearly my fourth sport. So if you want to call me cash hockey, I'll own that, because I am. And yet I was locked in on a Sunday afternoon. So you know who was the Super Bowl for? People like me. For the diehard fan in our audience, they're watching every game anyway. They've got three more games against the Islanders this season, two of which are at Madison Square Garden. Those games count. Those games are important, okay? So when you say this is the Super Bowl for the hockey fan, you're being disrespectful to the hockey fan.
I didn't say
Super Bowl.
Because
the hockey fan, Boomer, and he could pump this game up as much as he wants, watches every Ranger game, okay? So I would think every game matters to him. I wouldn't think this one's just going to matter more.
What was his opinion on yesterday?
The same
game.
BS, that we won, great. There was no screw the Ranger button, yay, I'm happy. I mean, you know, the typical Boomer opinion. He's happy, as he should be.
And I know this isn't a part of it, but for the 80,000 people that were there that have all been to a ton of Ranger games like I have, yesterday was a completely different feel.
And here's why you're wrong about that. I go as a hypocrite to every Met Yankee game, Tiki, every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Always sold out, always electric, but I'm there. But I realize when I leave that stadium, it's just any other game.
And guess what? Because they play the very next night against the same team.
Baseball's 162 games. You know that's different. The bottom line is big crowd, big atmosphere, more people watching.
It's not just
and
that
guess
they
what?
Won,
it's the same. It's a regular. Dude, you won a regular season hockey game.
They
it was
won.
So cool. There were so many people there. Big freaking deal. Evan. You got 2 points, okay? Two. That's Evan. What you got. You didn't get 6 points. You didn't get 9 points. You didn't get 5 points. You got two,
Evan.
All right? So take your bows later.
They scored 2 goals to tie a game with their goalie pulled late.
I'm
don't
aware.
Act like that's an every night occurrence in the NHL.
That's an every night occurrence when you watch.
In overtime. They scored 3 goals in 4 minutes and 10 seconds to come back and win a game versus their arch rival in front of 80,000 people. It's not the same as the Subway Series where they play the next
the
night.
The same New York Islander team who's ranked where on penalty kill this season? Where are they? Why don't you remind us for the audience that doesn't know? Where the hell
league.
Are they?
Where's you still have a great goalie. You can make a save on Mika Zibanejad in the corner. Don't poo-poo the moment because you're not a Ranger fan. We won our title belt yesterday, and we get to kiss that thing and use what we learned yesterday and go hoist
the
cup.
There's the evidence, Tiki. Mm-hmm. The title belt. They get title belts now for
the
winning regular season
belt.
Games.
Yep. Yeah. We won the Stadium Series belt yesterday.
There you go. They won a title belt,
Did
Tiki.
They actually give you something?
No.
Okay, so
they give you a hangover.
Take your 2 points and shut up.
By the way, you know who got a title belt this weekend? Now, seriously, you want to talk about title belts?
Somebody at UFC?
No. Steph Curry got a title belt for beating our girl Sabrina in that 3-point challenge.
Barely.
They gave him a freaking title belt.
Did they really?
Yeah.
I didn't watch a second.
Dude, I was glued to that. It was the best part of the All-Star weekend.
Nor did I watch anything else in the All-Star weekend.
I watched none of the slam dunk contest. I watched none of Jalen Brunson choking the 3-point contest. Didn't see any of that.
Who won the slam dunk contest?
Mac McClung, a G League player, which is all you need to know about the...
What?
Second year in a row, Mac McClung. Can't get an NBA job, but he wins the slam dunk contest every year. That's all you need to know.
And why are we supposed to care?
I don't care. All okay, I cared about was Steph against Sabrina. I thought that was cool.
So a G League player wins the slam dunk competition.
That's right.
Think of how asinine that is.
Yeah.
Because even if he was awesome and people were like, oh, I'd love to watch him, they can't.
That's right.
Because he's in the G League.
You got it right. No, you nailed all of it.
Jeez.
Joining us right now, a Yankee legend. And before you know it, you're going to hear his voice again. And what I did not know about this Yankee legend is he's got his own beer. And by me telling you the beer name, every Yankee fan listening is going to say, oh, I know who it is. And, of course, we're talking about Warrior 21. It's an IPA beer. And we're joined by the Warrior himself, the great Paul O'Neill. Paul, Tiki Barber, Evan Roberts, how are you?
Guys, how are you? It's good. I'm still in Florida, and it's Tiki, as you know, as soon as the Super Bowl is over, man, it's time to start baseball.
Yeah, it definitely is, and play some golf as well while you're down there. So hold on. Before we get started baseball, because we'll get to it in a second, tell me about this beer. Like, is it heavy? Is it going to knock me on my ass? It's an IPA, right? Tell me about
it. It's so funny, because I didn't drink when I played, and then all of a sudden I started to, you know, have a beer once in a while, and I fell in love.
with IPAs.
Yeah.
I thought, man, these
Me
are
too.
So good.
Me too.
And I was introduced to a guy, Wolf and Warrior Brewery in White Plains, and he's talked about, let's do this. And I started tasting some of the recipes, and he kept going through batches. And finally, he hit one. I said, this is it. This is it. And now I've become like a beer snob. I don't drink anything but that.
Hey, Paul,
it's a really, really
hazy
Northeast IPA. And what makes it Northeast is some of the hops are made in the Northeast, which give it a distinct flavor. Believe me, I give it a shot. You'll love it.
Right. I get those questions all the time. Hey, you want a light beer? I'm like, nah, I'll take water instead. Give me an IPA. give me an IPA.
How soon after retiring did you say, let me see what this beer lifestyle is like? Let me drink a couple of beers.
Well, you know, your lifestyle does change. I mean, you start eating dinner at home every day and things like that. And, you know, you start filling, things that you didn't do when you played. And again, I wasn't a drinker, and now I enjoy this IPA for dinner. And it's just, it's kind of, you know, just a different chapter. But it's been a lot of fun to be part of this, to see, the brewmaster, Michael, I told you, in White Plains. He's so passionate about these things. I mean, he looks like a scientist down there with the vats. They have to bubble for so long and can it now and hold it off there. And it's just, that's a little beyond what I understand. But I know once it's made and once it's out, I haven't tasted one that I like any better.
Yeah, no, it is a process. Those guys are artists. Again, that's a Warrior 21 IPA. Go check it out. It's Wolf and Warrior up in Evans' neck of the woods.
Yep.
All right, you're down there in Florida. The Yankees are just starting camp. The guy who, I mean, obviously Soto and Judge and all those guys are interesting, but I'm so curious about Giancarlo Stanton and his weight loss and his leanness and what that's going to mean. Have you gotten a chance to see him yet?
Yeah, I did see a picture. Somebody sent it to me, and he does look a little bit different. But, you know, I remember having a conversation with him at the end of the year, and, the only goal in the off season was to train, to do something different, to get yourself the ability to go out on the field every single day and give the Yankees, 500 or 600 at bats where he can help this team. And, you know, he obviously has put the work in. I'm sure it has a lot to do with more flexibility where, when you take the field, you're not walking on pins and needles, whether I'm going to get hurt doing this or doing that.
Do you think power is going to suffer?
I don't think so. I think that, if you watch his swing, he doesn't use a lot of his legs, anything. He just kind of stands still. He just have that gift of bat speed and the ability to hit the ball pretty much harder than anybody in the game of baseball. So, it's just about comfort. Obviously, injuries, they set you back. And I'm sure he's anxious to get the year going where, the hard work in the offseason can pay off. And you got to remember, this guy's, 34 years old? It's not like he's 40 years old or something. I mean, he has good years left in him if he can stay healthy.
We're talking to the great Paul O'Neill. I remember, so when you were playing, there would be a big addition every once in a while. Roger Clemens coming off of that 98 season. I remember they had a Chuck Knoblauch. Yankee fans are enthralled. They're pumped up about Juan Soto. What does it do to the room when a star player is added? Like, would you guys be excited when you were coming to camp and you knew there was another star player that George added to the roster?
Yeah, it kind of lets you know that the organization is, wants to win as much as you do. Because there's so many sports teams out there now that are, run as businesses where, if they win, great. If they lose, we'll get them next year. Well, that's not the Yankee mentality. And that's why I always had so much respect for Mr. Steinbrenner, because once we started winning, he kept those teams together. He overpaid for players to keep those teams together, to bring in guys. He would bring in Justice, or he brought in Cecil Fielder. And you mentioned Clemens, David Cohn. These guys came in, and you continually felt like the organization was on the same page. So I guarantee when, Ohtani signed with the Dodgers, a lot of the Yankees, were sitting there, what are we going to do? Well, they did something big and bringing in Juan Soto, yep, who, at his age and, the 1 year and done, I don't see that that's an issue. I think that things go well. He has a good year. He's liked by the team and the fan base. I think you're going to see him be a Yankee for a long time.
Yeah, and you talk about that, Paul. It's back, in the George Steinbrenner days, when you were there, it felt like if you needed to pay a guy, you were just going to pay a guy. Why is that harder now for big market teams like the Yankees? Not really the Mets, because Steve Cohen came in with all the money, but specifically with the Yankees, why is it harder? Is it because there's more competition? Is it because the number is just exorbitantly big? Like, why is it so much, it at least feels to us, like it's so much harder than it used to be?
Well, there are, you know, numbers that they want to stay under. And obviously, every time you think that you've seen a top salary in any sport, 2 years later, you're scratching your head because it's doubled again. It just continues to go up. So it's just not like you can just go out and buy every all-star you want because of the money in the game. But you want a superstar in New York. You have one in Aaron Judge, Gerrit Cole. Now you've added another one. So, you know, you have star power. And, you know, the Yankees are a team that has been known for some of the greatest players that ever played the game and a lot of World Series. And they want to continue to do that. And to do that, you got to bring in good players. And when you bring in star players, you're going to pay a lot of money for them.
Well, they did bring in a big one. Juan Soto is tremendous. And I think one of the big questions that Aaron Boone's already been asked is, hey, where does Soto hit? Where does Judge hit? What we know is one will hit two, one will hit three. You, when I think of you, especially during the prime of your career, I think of you batting third. Did you have a preference? Was that something that you preferred over anywhere in the other spot in the order?
Well, I loved hitting third, and I thought it was an honor to hit third. And I remember the first time that I hit, I got called into the office by Buck Showalter, and I was hitting fifth at the time. And, you know, I was hitting really well. And he said, I'm putting you third, and I'm putting Mattingly fifth. And I was almost embarrassed. I mean, this is Don Mattingly. Are you kidding me? But if I made this lineup up, I think I would put Soto second, and I think I would have Aaron Judge hit third. I think that Soto's on base percentage. And the protection of Aaron Judge is going to help both of them because Aaron Judge is going to be able to hit with a lot of with Soto on base a lot, and Soto's going to get the protection to see pitches from Judge. So, in my mind, that you know, two of the premier hitters in the American League in the same lineup, and if you can put Stanton behind Judge and he's back to where he was, then you've got you know, three or four bats, you know, innings that pitchers are going to have to really worry about.
You know, Paul, when you came to the Yankees after coming with the Reds and the core four was there, you know this, you guys won a lot of championships, and so much of it was not what we saw, right? It's not what was on the field. It was like a chemistry and a camaraderie and a, I don't know, just a togetherness. Do you feel like this Yankee team has that? It feels like there's disparate spots, pieces, right? Rizzo comes in, and then obviously Judge is there, but now Soto's there. Stanton, and the pitching staff has now been made over a little bit. Does it feel yet like this team has that intangible, that chemistry?
Well, I think that they have the tradition. They know the tradition of New York. They know what's going on as far as, you know, salary-wise, they're at the top of the game.
Yeah.
Behind the Dodgers, obviously. But, you know, it's very hard to say what happens in the clubhouse, you know, for me to sit and say what, you know, what they're saying or what they're doing, or does it compare to the 90s teams? Right. I really can't tell you.
But,
I know that.
But how important
Aaron
was that
Judge
to you,
the leader of this team? And when you bring in a star player, you know, Juan Soto's not expected to carry this lineup. He's expected to be who he is. And that's almost a relief. I mean, when you're a star player and you come into an organization, you know, look back at when A-Rod went to Texas, you know, $250 million never heard of. But you can't, it's baseball's not a sport where you can just carry a whole team. And that's what happens. And the Yankees have put together a team on paper, if healthy, and that's the big if in every organization, if healthy is going to be as good as anybody.
Yeah. We're talking to the great Paul O'Neill. So we have a coworker here who last week spearheaded A-Rod Day. He wanted to honor Alex Rodriguez since he hasn't had that honor yet from the Yankees, and he wants his number retired, number 13. As somebody who has his number retired, you are honored with that distinct honor from the New York Yankees. Do you think the Yankees should retire A-Rod's number?
You know what? All I know is A-Rod was one of the better players of his generation, bar none. I mean, he was as good as anybody. But you know what? If you break up his career, you know, he's with the Yankees, with Texas, with Seattle. You know, the Yankees, I have all the respect in the world, and you said it. I mean, to have my number retired is probably the biggest honor I've ever had in baseball because of the people that have been out there before. So I don't really have an opinion whether or not. All I know is I have a ton of respect for Alex Rodriguez for his ability and what he could do on a baseball field.
When you think back to your career, and you had a great one with the New York Yankees, this jumps out at me, and I'm not even going to bring up as a Met fan all the times you killed me, because you did many, many times, which I respect. I think back to the crowd chanting your name in the World Series of 2001. In the midst of that emotional World Series against Arizona, they're chanting your name. When you think back to that moment, like, what was going through your mind? Because you're such a competitor, so I assume you're trying to think about the game, but then you got to hear this. You got thousands of people chanting your name in the middle of the World Series.
Yeah, that, I mean, still gives me goosebumps when I think about it. And, you know, when you look at the story, it was a weird time in life after 9/11, the World Series. And when this started happening, you know, you're out in right field all alone. It's something you haven't practiced other than, you know, when you're a five-year-old in the backyard where the fans are chanting. It just doesn't happen. And it happened that night. And then you figure out what's going on. And you don't know how to react because at the time, we're losing a World Series game. I mean, that's the important thing. I mean, I had announced that I was retiring, but then if you look at the way the night went, one of the greatest comebacks, those three games, that's what I remember about those World Series. And I'm sure it has a lot to do with I was retiring at the end of the year, so I didn't have to you know, suffer the loss and try to repeat. But I remember those three games in New York, all comebacks, big home runs, late-inning heroics. That's what I remember of that time. And, it meant a lot to New York.
Yeah, no, it definitely did because the New York Yankees, I guess really all New York teams and their fans, they'll champion the ones that they feel like are theirs, right? Even though you came from someplace else, they claimed you. And so I wonder, like, when Juan Soto, as an example, comes here, and let's say he does get a long-term deal, I mean, does he need to win a championship? Like, how do you make yourself feel like you're one of this city's, like, favorite sons?
Well, I think if you're part of the Yankees, yeah, championships are extremely important. I mean, I think Aaron Judge, if you ask him, the one thing missing, obviously he's got a lot of years left in the game, is a world championship. And, you know, there's too many good players on this team that realize that this team has been brought together to win championships, not just, you know, to have a good year and make it to the playoffs and we'll see you next year. I mean, you know, excellence is the Yankee thing. And I always remember going to spring training, you know, with Mr. Steinbrenner out on the field. And it wasn't about having a good year. It was about winning a World Series. And, you know, unless you won a World Series, it wasn't a good year.
No doubt. Paul O'Neill's got a brand new beer, IPA beer, Warrior 21. So check it out, especially if you got some time off this week. We appreciate you coming on. Thank you, Paul.
Guys, have a good one, man. We'll see you.
The great Paul O'Neill, the Warrior himself.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.